Do you know, it's probably about 7 years and maybe 10 days since I took over from leading this church here. 7 years, just over 7 years. And looking out at you all, it's changed. It's changed, and that's good news, isn't it? If I came here and say, 7 years, nothing has changed, we'd be a bit concerned, wouldn't we? You'd be thinking, what have you been doing for 7 years? But I want to ask you all to stand up, okay? We're going to do something this morning, okay? You've just got comfortable, and now I'm going to get you to stand up, okay? And I want you just to have a look around at who's beside you, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to sit down at various stages, okay? So sit down if you started coming to the church in the last year. So 2023, if you started coming, sit down now. Okay? You might think, oh, I can't really remember. Don't worry, I'm not testing your knowledge. Okay. Pat, you've been here longer than a year, okay? I just have to say that, sorry. But if you've joined since the start of the pandemic, sit down. Okay, if you have joined since I came, so 7 years ago, sit down. A few people. If you joined since Ray was leading, sit down. Okay, these guys here, and Aries, I think, and Agnes, are the people, are the faithful people who believe that God would do something in this church. But what you guys have seen is you guys have seen the most change. You guys have seen the most change and you've had the most trust as the others have come in and you've said, actually, no, we're going to stay with this. Because there were some who left and that's fine. But you guys, we want to honour you and just say, it's... Amen. Amen to that. Amen. You guys can sit down. But... I'd like you to put your hand up if you've become a Christian through the ministry of this church. Nice and high. Because it's not just, I don't want to put anyone in the limelight particularly. Norman, your hand should be up as well, yeah. But it's not just people coming from other churches who have been added. It's the work of God's Spirit bringing salvation. And that is fantastic. And I won't put this person in the limelight, but on Thursday, we had someone become a Christian on the Alpha course, which is fantastic. So praise God for what he's doing. Now, obviously, people have left us along the way. But what I would say to you is that we know that God is growing the work that is happening. God is at work and there is a sense of advance. And this is not just numbers on Sundays, but the impact the church is having on the estate. We serve an incredibly large amount of people for the size of the church we are, because God has done something amazing here. And the DNA of the kingdom of God and for the church is growth and advance. If you've joined the church, you need to know that you are in a people group who is advancing God's purposes in this world. And now this is not geography or lands or taking over. This is about the kingdom of God working in people's lives. And last week, Liz sort of unpacked that parable of the mustard seed, that tiny seed that goes into the ground and sprouts a big bush that then benefits the world. And Isaiah prophesied, will be at this time very soon, won't we? For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's increasing. Daniel saw a big rock that came and dismantled this kind of statue of the kingdoms of the world, the great kingdoms that were there, the Babylonian kingdom, the Greek, the Roman Empire. The rock came and it smashed them And then the rock grew into a mountain that would inhabit the whole world. Habakkuk wrote, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." God's kingdom is growing. It is growing all the time. Advance and growth are the DNA of the kingdom of God. And the kingdoms and the corporations of this world may rise and fall, but nothing will stop the extension of God's rule and reign. I've been reading, as I prepared for this sermon, I was like, I want some new material. So I bought this book. And it is basically a man who just goes round and visits far out places and talks to Christians and sees what is happening. I tell you what, it is a book of faith. But he tells of his time in Russia, you know, and standing by these great statues of those in power in Russia, and particularly the USSR, the Soviet Union, that took over a huge amount of land. And he sees the power that they exhibited, but underneath it all, the church is growing, and that kingdom has toppled to some extent, hasn't it? And it's continuing to do so. And the kingdoms, the big corporations of the world that seem so powerful, in 50 years' time, they may not be. But what will remain will be the kingdom of God. Amen? So we're going to look at this new series, and I've called this morning Advancing to the Regions Beyond. And this is about how God's kingdom comes in new places. And if you've got your Bible, or you've got a phone, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're going to look. I'm not going to do a huge amount on the context, but Paul had a challenging relationship with the Corinthian church. And in chapter 10, Paul starts to defend his ministry, and he seems to have to do this quite often with this church, who are challenging. There are rumours and gossips around Paul and his ministry, and Paul seeks to defend himself, but not just to defend his honour, but to defend the gospel and the integrity of the gospel. And we're not going to unpick all of this today, but as we read it, you might have that sense, you might pick up Paul's tone. He's defending himself. We're just going to read from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. It says this: "But we will not boast beyond our limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to reach even you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labour of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Without boasting of work already done in another areas of influence, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." Father, we thank you for your word, and we want to pray, Lord, would you speak to us this morning through your word? Lord, would you lay before us the wonders and the amazing fact of what your kingdom is about? Lord, I want to pray that you would call us afresh into your purposes. Lord, we want to give our lives to your glory, Lord, and we want to do that with increasing faith day by day. So we pray that you would come by your Spirit and meet with each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I've got 4 things I want to draw from this, particularly looking at gospel advance and that kind of advancing nature of the kingdom. And the first thing I want to say is that our advance comes from the advance of others. This is how Christianity reached the UK. Well, it does show how it reached the UK, but it shows the growth. So the orange, these areas are where Christianity was in 300 AD. Okay? And then 300 to 600, this is how it grew. And when you think there's no cars, no planes, this was people going out and sharing the gospel, the good news. And when you think about your own journey to faith, or if you've not come to faith in Jesus, when you think about what brought you to here this morning, there's people. There's people who have been involved. Who told you about Jesus? Or who invited you to church? Who shared with you their testimony? Who showed you love when you didn't deserve it? For all of us, our belief came because someone shared Jesus with us. And that person's faith also came because someone shared Jesus with them. It happens all the time. And we could continue to see how one person passed their faith on to another, to another, to another, to another. And the fact that there is a church, well done, Margaret, you saw my slides beforehand, maybe. The fact that there is a church on the Ramsden Estate is because people walked to raise money for this building. This picture here is of the car park of All Saints Church, which is just with the old historic church. And if you look, look at how many people there are. Like, you can't even see them in the background. And that's because they look for 1,000 walkers. And look, the News of the World sponsored it. Can you believe it? The News of the World sponsored this. But they looked for 1,000 walkers to walk from Alpington to Canterbury. There was a police officer who walked from York to Alpington in 5 days with a letter from the bishop. And then they looked for 1,000 walkers. I think I've got documentary evidence to say that there were over 500 who went on this walk. And this is them walking through the night from here to Canterbury, which, I don't know, 60, 70 miles, something like that. They decided to do that because they wanted to see a church built as the houses went up on this estate. And thank God they did, hey? Thank God that they did that. Because there's been a church here all that time and a Christian witness. And the fact that Christian faith even exists in England is because some unknown Christians came here. We don't know exactly who brought the Christian faith to England. But archaeology and writing suggest that Christianity came in the late 2nd century. In verse 13, Paul says, "We will not boast beyond our limits, but will boast only with regard to the influence God has assigned to us to reach even you." And he's talking to the Corinthians. And Paul was the first person to share the gospel with the Corinthians. And when you look at this, when you think, no trains, no cars, probably walking most of the way, this is a long way to go, all the way around here, all the way to Corinth. That's the journey Paul took. Because he wanted to preach the gospel and he desired that more people would know about Jesus and know the life-changing power of his resurrection and his life. And the reason there was a church in Corinth was because of Paul and his ministry. Others had come in and the church had been drawn towards them. After Paul had gone, they'd been drawn towards these others. And in some ways, they'd rejected Paul. But Paul reminds them in his letter that he was the one who shared their faith with them, his faith with them, and that they should continue to believe and to follow his teachings and his writings. And he says in verse 14, "For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ." Rather than rejecting Paul, the Corinthians should have been grateful for what he'd given them, and Paul should have held a special place in their hearts. Maybe today, as I was preparing this, I was just thinking, maybe today is a day you need to send a message to someone who's had a role in your life in helping you to understand some of the gospel of Jesus. Maybe someone you don't see very often. Just send them a message and say, "I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you for what you've done in my life and for sharing Jesus with me." Just encourage them. It's important to remember that our faith is so often founded on the risks and the costs that others took to share it with us. And maybe today you're on that journey of discovering more about Jesus. And you've found something that your heart's drawn towards. And let me encourage you that there is a moment when you make a step of faith. When you, in your head, you think, this seems really good and I want it. But there is a moment when you have to make a step of faith and you say, actually, I'm going to trust in Jesus. And I want to encourage you to make that step. It's a step of trusting that God is who he says he is, that it's true, that Jesus died for you and that you can receive forgiveness in him. And I tell you what, when you make that decision, your life will change. It will change for the good. God does not promise us that it will be easy, but we will know peace with him and we will know his favour, and he will come and live inside of us and help us to change and become more like him. And it's a fantastic journey. Ask anyone who's sitting near you. Okay, growth in faith is essential for advance. I was trying to think, what picture do I put with this? Well, I used to work in gyms, and the key to getting stronger and getting fitter is to exercise. You know what? You want to get fit and you sit on your couch, guess what? You're not going to get fit. In fact, you're going to get less fit. There's a fact is that if you don't use your muscles, if you have an operation or you break your arm and it's in plaster, guess what size your arm is after the plaster comes off? It's like, what happened? How did it disappear? Was the plaster sucking away my muscle mass? No, because you don't use it, you lose it. And it's like that with faith. Faith comes when we use it. It's a gift from God, but we have to exercise faith to grow in faith. And verse 15, Paul says, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence may be greatly enlarged. Paul recognized that as the Corinthians' faith increased, the area of influence would grow. And Paul's desire here is that the Corinthians' faith will grow because they move beyond all this issue of Paul, that this current crisis that they're having in relationship. They move on from that, and then they can focus on the proper work. And I have to say that when a church is focused on mission and focused on reaching those outside, you spend a lot less time arguing with each other because you know that there's a mission to go about. Whereas, you know, if we forget about that and we just focus on each other, guess what? We might start to see each other's faults a bit more. Or we might start to debate, is this really the right colour for this wall? Are we really? But when we're focused on mission, we're thinking about how do we reach people out there? How do we make it easy for them to come in and be part of our family? And we're focused on others. We're always focused on others rather than ourselves. And it's as the Corinthians' faith increases, they will be more effective in reaching those who don't know Jesus in Corinth. And as they grow in faith, Paul will be further released to reach other areas. The map we put up earlier was of his second missionary journey. He went out again on a third missionary journey. Why? Because he was enabled to do that as the faith increased in the churches that he was responsible for. And the result of growing faith is a pressing forwards in gospel advance. And I've seen that as we've grown as a church. Our area of influence has grown. This is a passage from Isaiah, and it says, enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Don't hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And this is the sign of a growth. But I was thinking about this image of a tent. You know, when you have a tent, you think about the area inside the tent, but the actual space that the tent takes up is much bigger than the space inside the tent. And I think that happens with us as a church. As we've grown, it's like our stakes have been taken even wider, and our influence and our impact on Alpington and other churches has grown. That is with outside of our tent, if you like. Does that make sense? And in 2020, when we started the community fridge and we had a few sandwiches in the... Dean, you were there. I know Dad was there. We had a few sandwiches, and the bin man used to come in and grab a sandwich on his route. You know, we did not know what God was going to do. We had no clue what God was going to do. But as God has done work here, he has also done work in other places. A number of you came from Christchurch. And they send people and they said, we're for you. We want to bless the work on the estate. And what's happened is that we've helped them start a food project that's similar to ours, slightly different, community larder. It's like they've blessed us, but then they've been blessed back. As our influence has grown, the guy ropes have gone wider and we've impacted them. There's a food distribution project at St. Nicholas, which is like Tubenden Laneway. That's happened because of what's happened here. And not the Wednesday just gone, the one before, we had a guy called Andrew Genades. And I've known Andrew like across the room for a number of years. He leads a church in Downham, on an estate in Downham, Brook Lane. And I was sitting there chatting to him, and we were probably talking too loud. Alison, please forgive us, or Terry, or whoever was talking. We were probably being a little bit disruptive, and I do apologise for that. But he's come here because they're thinking about doing a life skills, and they've heard of some of the stuff that we're doing. And talking to him, their church has exactly the same heart as we do. It was like talking to the mirror. You know, it was like, actually, we both have the same heart for the community in this day and doing good to all people. And it was just brilliant. And I thought, fantastic, God, may there be a life skills course that starts over there. You know, and there's potentially a job club that's going to be starting down in the Craze. And I know a lot of us have had a heart for the Craze. We have people who come from the Craze to here to get food, and we think it's crazy. We need something over there. And there's now potentially a job club that's going to be happening. I think there's potentially food distribution as well. Oh, it's happened already. There you go. God does this as faith increases. God increases what we do and the impact we have. And this year, I will have preached at four other churches, encouraging them. And in November, I'm going to a church in New Hope in Bexley Heath. And they're on an adventure of joining two churches together. They're a church that has been quite well established, and there's a very small church that's not dissimilar to the situation we were in 15 years ago, that's small and needs some support, and they are going to join together and see what God does as that happens. And there's a lot of work to be done in bringing unity, but I've said to the guy, I just feel like I could come and help you and come and bless you. So I'm going to go there in the middle of November. But it's as God does a work that then we want to go out and we want to bless others and we want to see the kingdom of God extend. And this has only happened because the faith within the church has grown. Okay, the only reason I can go there is because the faith has grown in the church and there's a strong and solid foundation here to enable that kind of work. And this is one of the reasons why we started our growth groups, because we want to see more growth in faith, because then we have a bigger impact and God will do more and more stuff amongst us. You want to grow? Join a growth group. You want to grow in your faith? Join a growth group. This is about discipleship, and faith increases through discipleship. And if you're not yet in one, come and speak to me. The second thing, that as faith increases, so do the resources. In 2 Corinthians 9, the chapter before where we've been looking, Paul writes to the Corinthian church about taking a collection for the churches in Jerusalem. And this collection, if you read through Paul's letters, you see he often mentions a collection in different places. And all of the churches collect money and send it to Jerusalem, because the church in Jerusalem is having a hard time. There's famine and they need support. So they say, actually, we've got resources and we're going to give to see that work continue and to see that church strengthened. And as we spend the next 6 weeks or so looking at advancing God's kingdom, what God's going to do, and hearing from others like Marungwa, we're going to have an opportunity to give. And we're going to take up a special offering on Sunday the 29th of October and Sunday the 5th. Okay, you don't have to give on both occasions. You just choose one of those, okay? But it's an opportunity for us to give into what God is doing around the world. This will go towards training and equipping new leaders. You know, there's churches in India, northern India, that are facing really real persecution. And India has stopped Christians going in. It's stopped. So there is a need for training leaders to see more churches planted across that area. There's church planting, ministry to the poor, and strengthening churches. And I want to ask you to allow your rising faith to impact your wallet. To say, actually, can I give something? I'm giving to God's kingdom, which will mean other people are reached with the gospel. And I play my part in that. You know, many of us have given to the work that's happening in Burundi. And now you watch those videos back and you say, actually, you've played a part in that because you've given and you've enabled that work to continue. So I want to ask you to consider, before this date, what can you give? How can you participate in this opportunity? Growing faith is essential for gospel advance. Thirdly, advance involves risk. Someone once said, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K, risk. And there is a sense that faith is stepping out of your zone. It's not risk, you know, like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'll just take this risk. It's risk in a faithful God, isn't it? It's taking a step outside of the zone and the area of influence that you control and taking it into a place where you say, God, you need to act. That's what faith is. And Paul says in verse 15, he says, our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel in the regions beyond you without boasting of the work already done in another's area of influence. Paul was a bit like an icebreaker. I'd love to see one of these. I don't know about you. I'd love to see one of these ships just crushing through the ice. But that was his ministry. It was to break new ground and to break into areas that weren't already reached with the gospel. We might say it was a pioneering ministry. He shared the gospel and planted churches, but he wouldn't stay too long. He wasn't a pastor in that sense. He was a church planter. And he was someone who went from one place, saw people come to faith, trained, and then moved on and enabled them and encouraged them with his letters. And his desire is that seeing the Corinthian church flourishing, he will be released to go to the regions beyond Corinth. And in Romans, Paul expresses his desire to go to Spain. That's where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to Rome and then to Spain. You know, you think about how far he travelled. He wanted to go to Spain to share the gospel with them. He had a passion for places that hadn't heard the gospel. Do you know there's still places that haven't heard the gospel? Even with the wonders of technology and communication. Bridget on Thursday night was sharing about her journey and we're working with guerrillas in the middle of French Congo, I think, just called République de Congo now. And, you know, there's people there that weren't connected to the world. And there are many, many. According to the Joshua Project, there are currently over 7,000 unreached people groups. 7,000 different groups of people who have never heard the name of Jesus. Do you know that this represents over 40% of the world's population? Now you think 7,000, oh, that's a lot, but it's not that much. 40%, 3.4 billion people who've not heard the name of Jesus. There's much work to be done across the world. And it fills my heart with joy to know that we're connected to regions beyond. And they're currently involved in, I think, 5 unreached people groups planting churches. There's a few in the Philippines, I think 2 or 3 in the Philippines. There's 1 in Nepal, and there's some in India. And maybe for some of us here, God's going to call us to go to another nation. Maybe God's going to call you to go to another town or city for the sake of his name. Advance involves risk and discomfort. And Paul knew this. This is what Paul says later in 2 Corinthians. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. That was the life Paul lived because he believed that people needed to hear the gospel. He believed that it needed to go forth. And I think In our nation, we need to understand the importance of sharing the gospel with others. We live in relative comfort, don't we? And actually, even those words, you know, you sort of say, oh, I'm going to settle down. You know, there's no settling down in God's kingdom. In Biggin Hill, Gareth, who used to lead the church in Biggin Hill, he is, I don't know, 60-something, and he is going to move from Biggin Hill, where he spent 40 or 50 years of his life, from the house that I think they've got a very nice house, but he has felt the call to go to the Forest of Dean, which is like beyond Gloucester, because he's heard the call of God to say, actually, you go there. And he said to me the other day, you know, some of my friends have said, you know, you're leaving 50-year friendships here. You know, moving away from his children and his grandchildren, but all for the sake of the gospel. And we need more of that, don't we, in our nation? We need more to understand, actually, there's a real importance. We are on a mission, and all of us are on that mission. Some are called to go, some are called to stay, but we're all called to go and share our faith with others. Amen? This is a book that Tim Chester wrote about 10 years ago called Unreached. And he highlighted that one of the unreached people in Britain were the working class. You know, many of the churches, many of the bigger churches are in nice areas. You know, and this is true. This is still true across the UK. The unreached to the working class. And we have a great opportunity where we are to see the working class reached with the gospel. But there's also 35 unreached people groups who are in the UK. And we have a duty to go out and to meet those who are different from us and to share the gospel with them. We have a commission from God to go and make disciples of all nations. I shared about this book earlier. There's a guy called Tahir, and he's a man who shared the gospels with Muslims in Russia. And he faced threats from the KGB, from Muslims, and from Russian Orthodox leaders. And he said this: the world is more willing to receive the gospel than Christians are willing to give the gospel. I think that's just a provocation. It's a provocation that actually, Jesus said the harvest was ripe, didn't he? He said the harvest was ripe. And we've got to believe that, and believe that God will use our testimony and our stepping out in faith to share the gospel with others, that he will use that to bring life and bring freedom to those we love and those we meet. Gospel advance involves risks, moving out of the comfort zone to the faith zone where, God, you have to do something or else I'm going to look silly zone. Okay? That's what it involves. You know, talking to someone on the train. I heard someone on the phone saying, he was going home from work, he had a bad back or something. I stepped across the train, I said, any chance I could pray for you? No. This train swallowed me whole. But you know what? It was me saying, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. And I don't mind looking silly for the sake of the gospel. I've never seen the bloke again, probably, I don't know, maybe never will. But God may move your heart to say, actually, I'm going to step out and this is a risky area, but I'm going to do it because I've got faith in God and I believe God's leading me to do that. Finally, our focus must be on pleasing God. Verse 17 and 18 says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one the Lord commends. You know, our world is not short of people who commend themselves, who boast in what they've done or are doing. And this is probably as true for the church as it is for the world at times. There can be a desire for prominence, position, fame, which we can easily pursue and derail ourselves from the main objective, which is pleasing God. Okay, when our focus is on him, we will never be disappointed when our focus is on pleasing him and we live to do that. Because even with the advance as the DNA of the kingdom of God, there are times and seasons when advance doesn't seem likely or isn't even happening. This is Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. They went to the Alca tribe in Ecuador. I don't know if it's said like that.
I say it like that. The Alca tribe in Ecuador. And shortly after making contact with the tribe, unreached people group, Jim and four other missionaries were speared to death. Didn't look like advance. Didn't look like growth. But Elizabeth, his wife, stayed. And a year later, she was introduced to two Alca women. And through this relationship, she ended up entering the world of those who killed her husband. And she lived with them for 2 years. And a number of those people came to faith. You know, even those who speared her husband came to faith. When our eyes are fixed on pleasing God, we don't look at the measuring systems of the world. We say, actually, the success of a church or mission is not whether it's growing, it's whether it's been faithful to God. Because actually faithfulness to God will result in growth, whether you see it, Jim didn't see it, but his wife did. Because who knows when God will bring the growth? And we found this here, the first 4 or 5 years, we didn't grow much. But we kept believing and we kept praying and we kept feeling God was saying we're going to grow. But we didn't see much and it would have been easy to start to get disappointed. But we just kept hearing that call and kept being reminded, hey, God's going to cause growth. And we kept being faithful. And Jim Elliot famously said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. You know, there's nothing worth holding on in this world to instead of pursuing the kingdom of God. Because actually everything we have, it will go. It will go. Everything. You know, you enter this world naked without anything and you leave without anything. But the thing that we cannot lose, that we should pursue, is God's kingdom and his purposes. And I want to take a moment to encourage us to respond to what God is saying to us. I felt really to take a moment and say, God, if you know in your heart, whether it's today or whether in the past, do you think, you know what, I feel God is going to call me to go somewhere else. Whether that be another nation or another city, I would like to ask you just to put your hand up and I would like us to pray for you. Because God places calls on our life and we have to work them out. But sometimes we know, hey, you know what, when we flew to South Africa first time, 2008, Kate and I said on the plane on the way back, I think we're going to be back here. It was just a reaction thing. I think we're going to be back here at some stage. And we wrestled with it for 7 years. You know, like, oh, we feel like we're... And then the invitation came and we went. But we had that sense of call and God moving in our heart. And I want to encourage you, if you feel that is you, that you will go somewhere else, another town or another city, not necessarily to leader work, but you feel God is going to call you to move from where you are to do something else, I want to just ask you to raise your hand. And I'd like us to pray for these guys. Because it's a call of God. Why don't we all just lift our voices and just pray for TJ and Michelle. Let's pray for them. Let's lift our voices and let's pray for them as they feel that sense of God moving. I'm going to pray. You pray out loud as well. Lord, we thank you for these guys. Lord, we thank you for TJ. Lord, we thank you for Michelle. And we thank you for the way that you've been speaking to their hearts. And Lord, we want to just pray that you would lead them in your path, Lord. We want to pray that each day would be a day of training, of learning more about you, and that you would send them at the right time, Lord, that it would be very clear that you're going to send them. And I pray that every day they would discover more about you and they would have that sense of you leading them and that you would lead them in great steps of faith while they're here, Lord, that there will be steps of faith that they take here that will then mean that when they go elsewhere, Lord, that they are already ready to make those steps of faith. Lord, we pray your blessing on them and we pray that you would lead them very clearly in the next stages of their lives, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage everyone to stand. For the rest of us who don't particularly at this point feel we're called to go elsewhere, we are called to go to our neighbour. We are called to go to the end of the road. We're called to come here and at a cafe and talk to someone we don't know. We are called to share the good news. We're not all evangelists, but we're all called to share our faith. And I want to just ask you just to hold your hand out. Maybe the band might come up. Father, we hear these stories of people who've done great things for you. Lord, even Donna, who went to Burundi. Lord, a middle-aged lady who went to Burundi because she felt the call of God. And her faith to do that amidst her battles with cancer and other things, Lord, she felt that sense of calling to do your work. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, would you raise faith within us, Lord? Faith to step out, to share the gospel. Lord, we recognise that the reason we believe is because you sent others to share the gospel with us. And Lord, we want to be effective tools in your hand to share the gospel with others, to share the good news of Jesus, to share our testimony. If we don't even know what to say, Lord, we can share our story. I want to pray that you would mobilise us, that we would become a great missionary people of advance, both on this estate and wider afield. Thank you for what you've done over the last 7 years. Thank you for what you've done over the last 10 years. Lord, thank you for the way that you are on the move. And we want to pray that many more people would come to know you as their Lord and Saviour on this estate, but also wider than that. Lord, we thank you that as we give to the work in the nations, Lord, that we play our part in reaching the unreached people groups, in seeing church planted, in seeing leaders equipped, in seeing Murunga having funding to open up new projects. Lord, we thank you that we play our part in that. And Lord, we just pray, would you stir within us great faith to make great steps, believing that you're going to do great things, because that's what you've promised. You said we'll do greater works than Jesus. Lord, how does that even work? But Lord, we want to be part of it, and we want to throw ourselves into that. So we pray, Lord, would you help us in your mission to this estate and beyond. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing our final song. I'm sorry I've spoken slightly longer, but I think this is important stuff. And I think an extra 5 minutes is worth it, because God is about great work. So we're going to sing a song which talks about building our lives. We want to build our lives upon his love, because he's worthy and we want to please him. So let's sing our final song.